Hello and welcome to the April issue of Rotary Magazine. Can you believe it? Spring is here. I'm Dave King, I'm managing editor of the magazine, and I'll be taking you through some of the highlights, including news, features, and letters from our members. For this issue, we look at Ukraine. Now, at the time of recording, there are discussions going on between Russia and China to find a peaceful solution. Yet, in Ukraine, the death and destruction goes on. It's been 14 months since the Russian invasion of Ukraine, and this special issue focuses on Rotary's impact in the country, along its borders, and back home here in Great Britain and Ireland. We take a broad look at what Rotary has been able to achieve and to support those who are the most vulnerable at times of conflict. We've also got a question and answer session with Gordon McAnally, the Scot who will become president of Rotary International this July. So sit back, listen, and I hope you'll enjoy another jam-packed issue of Rotary Magazine. Whenever there are times of crisis, Rotary can be relied upon to step up to the plate. This has been a thread running consistently throughout its 118-year history. This was particularly apparent during the First World War, when Rotary clubs rallied with a serious amount of fundraising, supporting refugees and casualties, organising entertainment for the troops, and after the war, helping soldiers to find employment. Of course, many Rotarians gave the ultimate sacrifice in the defence of their country. Recently, we have witnessed Rotary at the forefront of volunteering during the COVID pandemic, never mind our pedigree as one of the first organisations to respond to humanitarian crises around the world. With Ukraine, Turkey and Syria in mind, this month's issue focuses on Rotary's ethos of making a difference in the modern world. It's not tokenism. It's getting our hands dirty by not just being the first to get involved, but often the last to leave. The Russian invasion of Ukraine has prompted an amazing response from Rotarians globally, with the Rotary Foundation awarding nearly $15 million in disaster response grants to more than 270 districts worldwide. Each of these projects has had a direct bearing on coping with the enormity of the humanitarian disaster which has followed in the wake of war in Eastern Europe. In Great Britain and Ireland, the response has been similarly rapid, with two people in particular, Alan Smith and John Phillip, the driving forces behind the Rotary Ukraine Task Force, ensuring the right aid is getting to those who need it most. With them, Alan and John have galvanised a team whose energy shows no sign of abating. In these pages, we reflect on the work of the Ukraine Task Force over the past 14 months and take a Ukrainian viewpoint on the impact of that work. As was written in this magazine editorial about the conflict exactly a year ago, the conflict in Ukraine is not a short-term issue. Rotary is going to need to be in the thick of things long after peace breaks out, if it ever will. You can be sure, however, that Rotary will be holding firm to help with rebuilding. What this month's magazine documents is the wide variety of activities with which Rotary clubs and districts have been engaged with, making a massive difference to those enduring the conflict in Eastern Europe, and also those families who have sought refuge in these isles. The creativity and the level of support given is both inspiring and extraordinary. Now, in recent months, Rotarians have also rallied to the call for humanitarian relief following the devastating earthquakes in Turkey and Syria. The scenes of devastation and the scale of human tragedy are appalling. Shelterbox, a charity which was formed at the turn of the millennium by a Cornish Rotary Club, is at the forefront of relief efforts in that region, as they have been for more than two decades around the world. As Rotarians, we should be proud of what Shelterbox does so professionally and with such speed to provide aid to those most in need. They work in tandem with other humanitarian agencies and are respected leaders on the front line of relief efforts. Their amazing work in Turkey and Syria is detailed in these pages. The stories from Ukraine, along with Turkey and Syria, are heartbreakingly sad. The world can be a cruel place sometimes. However, thank heavens for organisations such as Rotary, reliable, impactful, and there till the end.
A Refugee's Tale. The Ukrainian city of Mariupol came under siege by the Russians, withstanding constant bombardment. This is one story of one family who managed to flee the terror to establish a new life in England. Story by Anna Fedorenko. Over the past year, our local churches have often been the meeting places for Ukrainian refugee guests. This is where Dieter Shaw, a Rotarian from Amersham in Buckinghamshire, first met Ganna. The story of her flight to England is one of thousands as we watch the war in Eastern Europe from a safe distance. But as the ongoing Ukraine war diminishes in our collective awareness, it is worth remembering the struggles which still threatens the lives of those wishing to escape the inferno, and, once safety has been achieved, how they often face another struggle for shelter. Here is Anna's story. My name is Anna Fedorenko. I, my husband, and our 8-year-old autistic son were born and lived all our lives in Mariupol by the Azov Sea. My mother, Maria, also lived in retirement in the city in a block of flats where all the residents were close friends. We had a good life. I was a wedding planner, my husband was a videographer. When the war started, we couldn't leave the city because we didn't have a car and we couldn't leave behind my blind mother-in-law. For a month, we lived under constant bombardment, with no electricity or heating, in sub-zero temperatures inside our flats. We only ate once or twice a day, as we had very little food, and drained the radiators for water to drink. We hid in the basement whenever we heard airplanes, as we knew that meant more bombs would fall, and only slept on the floor. We tried to sit in the hallway with neighbours to generate body heat together to keep warm. We ate, slept, and walked in the same clothes, and were unable to wash during this time. All the trees in our street were cut down because people had to cook on open fires in the street. Being outside was dangerous, and two new cemeteries appeared behind our block. The constant bombardment and rocket fire caused many buildings to be destroyed or catch fire, so it was a miracle that ours did not catch fire as well. On March the 23rd last year, we decided to leave Mariupol on foot. Everything we passed was destroyed. We lived in a flat in Dnipro for a week, but then that was bombed too. We moved to Odessa to wait for our British visas, but then rockets hit that city, and I just thought, really? Again? My mother, Maria, was in a different part of Mariupol, and we couldn't reach her. She was living in the basement of her block of flats, with another 150 people, her neighbours. There was some food available, as a bombed-out food shop was in the vicinity, but it was very dangerous to go and get the food. My mother-in-law's house was hit, and she was buried by parts of the house falling on her. She was pulled out from the rubble. In a month, my mother's house and basement burnt down. My younger brother, who lived in Kyiv, bought a car and drove to Mariupol to rescue my mother and my mother-in-law. He risked his life to save them, took them out of the occupied city. A week later, he died in Kyiv. The cause of death has not been established. My mother-in-law now is in Odessa with her daughter. My mother's block of flats was badly damaged, and now she has seen photos showing that it has been bulldozed by the Russians, who are building show houses in the area for propaganda purposes. Finally, we got to England and were housed by our wonderful sponsors, the Barretts, and Maria was nearby in another house. After 6 months, our sponsors were unable to continue to house us, but we have just been moved into a house in High Wycombe with a new sponsor, and so my mum Maria can be together with me and my son. we have a home again for 6 months. Now we are applying to schools which will be able to support my son Mark and give him stability, and then I hope to be able to work. My husband got to Ireland and was issued a visa for the UK last August. Unfortunately, the local council has said it is impossible to find housing with my husband, so at the moment we are still apart, and he is living in Ireland. I don't know when my son can see his father. My greatest fear is being homeless and losing everything again. I have only one dream, which is the same as my whole country, that we will win, because good always triumphs over evil. A Host's Tale, story by Jill and Roland Lawrence. Since November 2022, we have become the hosts and sponsors of Anna, her son Mark, aged 8, and her mother Maria, at our home in High Wycombe. Last March, we registered with the Homes for Ukraine scheme, and in the summer, we were approached by the Buckinghamshire liaison team, looking for new sponsors for a number of Ukrainian families who were coming to the end of their first 6 months in England. They thought our location and accommodation might well be suitable for Anna, Mark and Maria, and enable them to be housed together as a family. Importantly, the team were able to visit us, to meet us and see our house, and put us in direct contact with the family's previous sponsors. Then, when we were comfortable with what we had learned about them, and before either side had made a commitment, they brought the family to meet us and see our house and location. We liked the family immediately, they liked us, and they moved in with us a week later. Fortunately, Anna speaks good English, which was a very great help. We have found the family delightful guests and friends. They have been very flexible, appreciative, and easy to share our house with, in particular our kitchen, breakfast room. They are very helpful and amazingly cheerful most of the time, despite the horrors they have been through. The family has settled in well, and Mark has started at the Disraeli School in High Wycombe, which was able to take him and has a good reputation. So far things are going well, and Mark's grasp of English after 9 months is amazing, as is his skill at building complex Lego models. For both my wife and myself, the experience to date has been extremely positive and enjoyable. It has widened our horizons and provided us with a new challenge. We realise the longer-term future for Anna and her family is completely uncertain, as their home city of Mariupol has been almost completely destroyed and the war continues to rage. We are content to provide them with a temporary refuge. We do encourage other Rotarians to consider taking in a Ukrainian family. From our perspective, the fact of our being second hosts and the help and support provided by the excellent Buckinghamshire Council liaison team has made the process relatively simple and greatly reduced the risk of placement proving unsuccessful. Roland Lawrence is a member of the Rotary Club of High Wycombe, Buckinghamshire. His wife Jill is a member and treasurer of the Inner Wheel Club of High Wycombe.
6 million pounds for Ukraine. Jersey Rotarian Alan Smith is heading up Rotary GBNI's Ukraine Task Force and describes the progress which has been made over the past year. More than a year ago, along with the rest of the population, I was horrified by the scenes on TV of Russia invading Ukraine. I was surprised but pleased to receive a telephone call from Amanda Watkin, General Secretary of Rotary GBNI, asking me to lead a team of experienced Rotarians in the Rotary GBNI Ukraine Crisis Task Force. At our first meeting, the initial challenge was to agree our purpose, which was to provide a Rotary coordinated approach to the current Ukraine crisis, especially to displaced people both leaving and within Ukraine, and communicate to Rotarians throughout UK and Ireland. I was very fortunate in having a very talented team of Rotarians, and the delegation of responsibilities was in line with their experience, including past District Governor Dr. John Phillip, chair of the Rotary International Fellowship of Healthcare Professionals, who would lead the healthcare response. James Onions, National Coordinator of the Rotary GBNI Inter-Country Committee, or ICC, and Tata Glick, leader of the Ukraine ICC, would liaise with ICC members in Ukraine and bordering countries. Mike Parry would liaise with the Rotary Foundation. Peter King would liaise with the Rotary GBNI Resilience co-leads. Roger Stent would lead with Selwyn Foreman as our liaison with all district governors, with Selwyn also Task Force Secretary. Janine Birtwistle would lead our communications, including our bulletin in conjunction with myself, and we decided to meet weekly to distribute a weekly bulletin. We reported to Cheryl Berry, lead of the Rotary GBNI humanitarian team. Our first challenge was to gain first-hand information on how Rotary GBNI could help in healthcare and assist the huge wave of refugees fleeing Ukraine. John Phillip, through the Healthcare Fellowship, gained immediate information that tourniquets for wounded civilians were urgently needed. James Onions and Tata Glick contacted the ICC members in Ukraine and bordering countries to ensure we met the need on the ground and not what we thought they needed. The second challenge was to identify safe bank accounts for districts and clubs to donate funds. Rotary International arranged secure district accounts in bordering countries, since it was considered too dangerous to advise clubs to send funds direct to the Ukraine district account. Once the Ukrainian army had stabilized the military situation, we felt it was safe to advise clubs to send funds direct to District 2232 GB pound account. The third challenge was to effectively communicate with Rotary districts, clubs and Rotarians, which we achieved through a weekly bulletin, as well as a Facebook page and a most informative mind map. Action was what was needed, and Rotary throughout Great Britain and Ireland responded magnificently. During March, enough money was donated to the Healthcare Fellowship to purchase 5,000 tourniquets, costing €30,600. Trucks of supplies were leaving on an almost daily basis, resolving any border administration issues. The Rotary Foundation launched disaster response grants, and we urged districts to apply for these $25,000 or £19,000 grants to support Ukraine guests who were starting to arrive in the UK. We liaised with the Rotary GBNI Resilience team and invited contributions to our weekly bulletin. During May, we held our first joint task force meeting with the Ukraine Task Force, a huge step forward, enabling us to hear on a weekly basis the needs of the Ukraine people. In July, the Ukraine Task Force members, led by Serhiy Zavadsky, highlighted the urgent need to start planning for the very cold winters. Many Ukrainians had lost their homes and were living and sleeping in the open air. They needed shelter for the winter. So the Moschun Modular Home Project was launched by the Ukraine District throughout Rotary worldwide. We urged Rotary districts and clubs to respond, with the homes initially costing £10,000 or $12,500 each. By the end of the year, Rotary GBNI had raised over $350,000, enabling 28 modular homes to be built. By September, we appealed to help Ukraine feed the world through removing Russian mines and ordnance, by purchasing two magnetometers and software for reconnaissance of fertile land, and to make safe at a cost of €41,000. Within days, District 1145 came forward with the money. During November, as the Ukraine disaster deepened with the increased missile attacks, we launched appeals for generators through donations or by clubs and districts delivering directly. This is an ongoing campaign receiving outstanding support. We appealed for warm clothing and further support for shelter. The continuing need for support of Ukraine has never been so important. We have recognized that occasionally donating to the Ukraine district has, in a small number of cases, been challenging. We're therefore very grateful to three districts in Rotary GBNI for allowing us to collect funds in one of their accounts, strictly controlled by their treasurer. This will mean all our projects will have a UK bank account for funds to be received. May I, on behalf of the Rotary GBNI Ukraine Crisis Task Force, thank every district, club and Rotarian for their magnificent support, which we conservatively believe has totalled in excess of £6 million. We will continue to help the desperate people of Ukraine, but can only do this with the continuing outstanding support of all Rotarians. Rebuilding Ukraine with Rotary. Story by Sergei Zavadsky, Rotary Club of Kyiv City, Ukraine. Coordinator of the Moshchan Recovery Project and leader of the Rotary Ukraine team, working with the Rotary GBNI Task Force. I hate war. I hate those who initiate, support, or do nothing to stop it. My country is struggling from Russian aggression, and last February it came full scale to my own city of Kyiv. A year ago, I was forced to flee from my own city with my wife and four grandchildren to escape the violence and death. My younger son joined the army to defend his family and the country, and every day we pray for him. What has kept me reasonably balanced this whole year of war has been my Rotary service to others. I'm very tired now, but I cannot allow myself to stop serving others in need, those suffering in more tragic and horrible situations than me. I'm happy that we have been getting such strong support from all over the world, from many Rotarians, Rotary clubs and districts. It comes and comes and comes. God bless all those Rotarians who are helping us here to survive, to struggle and defend our freedom to live as we want. Rotary in Ukraine has selected as one of our big projects the small village of Moshchan near Kyiv. Moshchan is not mentioned as often by the international media as Mariupol, Bucha, Irpin or Hostomel, but it is a heroic village where the fighting was very intense, but where Russian troops were stopped from their goal of attacking and occupying Kyiv city. More than 70% of the houses in Moshchan were completely or significantly destroyed. When I visited Moshchan for the first time after the fighting, I saw an apocalyptic picture of ruins and ash, a dead village with just a few local people who were frustrated, lost and with very little hope for the future. My Rotary Club of Kyiv City started a project with the Rotary Club of Ivano-Frankivsk from Western Ukraine and a local charity established with a mission of Moshchan's recovery, UA Dream Fund. We have selected a reliable local producer of modular homes and decided that we will not create a separate camp of modular homes, but install each modular house at the plot of land of each family. This has saved time, sidestepped bureaucratic procedures to allocate the land, provide electricity and water, with families able to live on their own land, and step by step build their own permanent house. I'm so proud and happy that with the support of Rotary districts, clubs and Rotarians from Great Britain and Ireland, and from many other countries, we have installed already 100 temporary modular houses, allowing 300 people to survive on their own land and rebuild their lives. A quarter of these modular houses have been funded through the Rotary GBNI. By helping to recover Moshchan village, we're showing a positive example to help recover the whole of Ukraine. Thank you, Rotarians from Great Britain and Ireland. For more information, visit www.facebook.com/moshchan.recovery. Building the Bonds of Friendship. Story by James Onions, Rotary GBNI Intercountry Committee Coordinator. As war began in February 2022, members of our Intercountry Committees, ICC, with Ukraine and Moldova were presenting over Zoom at a District 1130/1145 peace event. Marina Dolzenko, the ICC's Great Britain and Ireland-Ukraine lead in Ukraine, courageously continued presenting from Kiev as attacks commenced. She discussed the Rotary Peace Garden, which had just been created by clubs in Kiev and London. Dirk Lustig covered programs which had been planned by Rotary to clear mines in eastern Ukraine, left from the 2014 war, a project encompassing an area nearly half the size of Wales. ICC is all about developing working relationships nation to nation. Ours were already in place with Moldova and were well developed with Ukraine. The foundations for great support were solid and used to set up our Ukraine task force. Very rapidly, we supported Moldova, the poorest country in Europe, to absorb the hundreds of thousands of refugees passing through. With only 100 Rotarians in 8 clubs, their task was challenging. Our ICC, led by past Rotary GB&I President Peter King, helped Moldovan Rotarians organise shelter and a central secour for 5,000 of the 95,000 refugees who stayed. With local supplies in Moldova rapidly exhausted, districts 1145 and 1200 financed shipments of essentials to the Moldovan capital, Chisinau. Local Rotarians distributed these goods, travelling food bank style. Their efforts were covered on Moldovan TV, and the two lead clubs, E-Club of Moldova International and Chisinau Triumph, received letters of thanks from Moldova's president. As we built our task force through ICC contacts in Ukraine, particularly Sergei Zavadsky, we were the first nation to work with Ukraine's task force and commenced weekly meetings. Close, trusted relationships from ICC throughout Ukraine enable us to work together productively. A year on, those relationships have served us well. As Rotary International Director and Vice President, Nikki Scott said, "ICC is like friendship exchange on steroids with a very long-term relationship." Our peace park in Kiev was cared for even during the first months of the war, becoming a symbol of their desire for peace. We all hear the warm thanks from Ukrainian people for the UK's support, who have noticed how Rotarians from Rotary GB&I have been a part of that. Demonstrating to all the people of Ukraine the support provided by communities in Great Britain and Ireland, benches have been placed in the popular Shevchenko Park in Kiev. ICC leader in Ukraine, Marina Dolzenko, led this reminding the people of Ukraine that people of other countries and not just governments are with them. Robin Jowett, an honorary member of the Kew Gardens Rotary Club, was recently in Kiev to research the impact of the war on children and their education and was photographed sitting on one of the benches. One year on, very brave people continue to resist aggression, showing both resilience and innovation. A new project with Dirk Lustig to detect and destroy mines in an area now the size of England is commencing.
Making a Home from Home. Story by Cheryl Berry, Team Leader Humanitarian Service, Rotary GB&I, and Janine Birtwistle, Deputy Team Lead Humanitarian Service, Rotary GB&I. Rotarians across Great Britain and Ireland have united to welcome our Ukrainian guests, helping with their immediate and longer-term needs. They have used their networks, skills and experience, often at very short notice, to provide a wide range of resources and support. Rotarians are pleased to do whatever they can, knowing the stress of the trauma experienced by our guests, and understand their ongoing concerns and sadness for all those in Ukraine will be with them for many years to come. The Rotarian Network of Rotary District Resilience Officers in Great Britain and Ireland, led by Brenda Parsons and Peter Dowse, have coordinated many of the activities. Here are just a few examples to give an idea of the extent of our Rotary help. Clothing, toiletries, toys, furniture and household goods have been collected and distributed by Rotarians, Rotary clubs and Rotary districts. Rotarians working with estate agents have identified affordable housing for those leaving their initial host accommodation. Translating medical and educational documents into relevant languages. Ensuring vaccinations such as COVID and polio are up to date. Registering with local GPs and enrolling at local schools. Working with Rotary GB and I partner Bipolar UK to produce a directory of mental health services translated into required languages. The Rotary Club of Dronfield distributed personal journals in Ukrainian and English to help guests record their experiences to work through their feelings and emotions. This is a simple way of overcoming the trauma of the conflict, helping integration with their new community. Issuing free phone cards for contact with relatives and friends. Providing laptops for communication and translation. Arranging regular coffee mornings and social meetings for Ukrainian guests and their hosts. Setting up summer activities for young Ukrainians at sports centres and outdoor activity centres. In Derbyshire, there are plans for leadership and team-building activities throughout the year. Celebrating Ukraine Independence Day, including traditional music, dancing and food, working with Ukrainian groups. Holding Christmas parties and distributing Christmas hampers and toys. Addressing the gaps in English as a second language provision by setting up conversation classes in libraries and community centres. Distributing arts and crafts materials to enable hobbies to be continued or new ones started. Holding environmental workshops on recycling and textiles reuse. Helping people retrain and/or continue their careers and professions, such as in Rotherham, a Ukrainian guest who was a plumber is being equipped with the necessary tools to continue his trade. We thank everyone for their tremendous determination to help as many of our Ukrainian guests as possible, alongside all the other work Rotarians do in their communities. Rotarians across Great Britain and Ireland are continuing their support to our Ukrainian guests wherever, whenever, and however they can, and there are exciting plans for the future.
Medical care for the front line. Newbury Rotarian John Phillip, chair of the International Fellowship of Healthcare Professionals, assesses the impact of their work in Ukraine. Story by John Phillip, chair of the International Fellowship of Healthcare Professionals. My regular contact with medical colleagues in Ukraine causes me huge challenges. When they tell me stories of mothers giving birth in cold bunkers, of vulnerable premature babies gasping for breath, of the millions of children internally displaced and traumatized by the war, all on top of the horrendous injuries suffered by soldiers and civilians, I feel numb. A year on, there is no sign of an end to this tragedy. I worry about the thousands of innocent victims of this war. I also worry about my medical colleagues. How long can they cope with the pressure? What would be the consequences if they burn out? Who is caring for them? What is happening to the training of new doctors and other health professionals? I find it impossible to prioritize the medical needs of the people of Ukraine. How do you choose between the lives of a soldier with blast injuries, a civilian with crushed limbs, a pregnant woman in labor in a bunker, and a disabled youngster in an institution? Who is involved in rehabilitation of those who have suffered life-changing injuries? There has never been a war such as this, where a superpower has with impunity targeted a small country's civilians and civilian infrastructure for so long. It is difficult to quantify the extent of the suffering. Rotarians have responded with speed. Most of the medical aid we deliver is at the request of the Rotarian doctors in Ukraine, some of whom are members of the Ukrainian branch of the Fellowship of Healthcare Professionals. They have shown amazing resilience perhaps helped by the knowledge that the Fellowship, from the second week of the war, has stood by them. It has been an honour for me to coordinate, since the very beginning of the war, medical aid from Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland, and beyond for Ukraine. I'm amazed at the generosity of Rotarians and others. We have so far supplied £350,000 worth of medical aid, including 20,000 tourniquets, orthopaedic instruments to treat polytrauma, Neopuff incubators to help newborn babies to 23 cities. In December, I travelled 1,350 miles from my home in Newbury across the Channel, through France, Germany and Poland, to the Ukrainian border town of Tomaszów-Lubelski to hand over 120 boxes of vital medical equipment to colleagues from Ukraine. The boxes were packed tight into two vans driven by two Scottish colleagues. My role was mainly navigating. The reason I felt compelled to make this journey was because the medical equipment was purchased by donations from Rotarians and well-wishers. It was highly specialised equipment for 37 maternity hospitals. I could not simply rely on someone else to take responsibility for this. So long as the war continues, pregnant women will face increasing risk. So will newborn babies. We'd like to see a coordinated effort to support pregnant women and newborn babies. With the increased risk of premature and low birth weight babies born in less than ideal conditions, there is an increased risk of them suffering various medical problems, including oxygen starvation. This could result in mental or physical disability. Ukraine has one of the lowest fertility rates in the world. Its population has declined since the 1990s, with a generation of young people growing up with physical and mental trauma. The long-term impact to the country is unthinkable. The children are the future. Protecting the children must be one of our top priorities. Our current focus is on supplying Kangaroo Mother Care, or KMC, wraps to a number of maternity hospitals. KMC includes keeping small, preterm babies skin to skin with their mother or another family member. Studies of KMC report increased survival, decreased infection, improved nutrition and growth, and possible improved development. The wraps are being manufactured in Moldova and distributed internally by Early Birds, a parent association in Ukraine. They have identified 30 hospitals where the wraps are most needed. It is estimated that an average of 300 to 600 infants per month will benefit. We're also supplying small knitted hats to complement KMC. Such hats for newborn babies may be life-saving. Their heads are relatively larger than bodies compared to older children and adults, and a large source of potentially risky heat loss. I've been overwhelmed by the response from Rotarians and friends who have been knitting baby hats and sending them to me. They'll soon be worn by vulnerable newborns in Ukraine. The Fellowship has launched a project reaching out to children in need in Ukraine to assess the impact of the war on their mental health and explore how we may help them. Many children have been killed or injured. Many have lost parents and siblings, their homes, schools and playgrounds. We have been told that some have been kidnapped and trafficked. No child should ever have to bear that kind of suffering. They need mental and physical support urgently. We're grateful to Rotarians in Ukraine who keep us informed of the changing situation in their country. The real-time stories we hear from them are the worst example of man's cruelty to man. These stories are evidence of the collapse of the international order as we knew it before February the 24th, 2022. The stories need to be told and retold as we seek to do in whatever way we can to stir the hearts and minds of people all over the world. Putting in the hours for Ukraine. Counting up the work of Rotarians in Great Britain and Ireland over the past year to support the people of Ukraine. Story by Dave King. In just over a year, Rotarians in Great Britain and Ireland have raised more than £6 million in humanitarian aid towards Ukraine and provided volunteering hours which have amounted to more than 10 years. That's the result of a Rotary GB&I survey, which received feedback from over 400 clubs across the region about their work in support of Ukraine. Internationally, Rotarians and donors have rallied to raise over £12.1 million via the Rotary Foundation's Global Appeal, while in Great Britain and Ireland, £412,000 has been raised for Rotary Foundation UK's appeal. Further, there's been an estimated £6 million of cash and goods donated to all sources as part of the Ukrainian humanitarian appeal. This latest survey serves as a snapshot of how and on what scale Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland has responded so rapidly to the crisis in Eastern Europe. Chief among Rotary's activities has been fundraising, but also creating awareness of the work of Rotary. Portadown Rotary in Northern Ireland held a four-day fundraiser to create awareness of Shelterbox and how they work through the world assisting people through disasters. As a result, two Shelterboxes were provided for Ukraine. In North Wales, Abergavenny Rotary sent £2,000 to Rotary's Disaster Emergency Committee when the conflict started, and later raised a further £3,500 through a series of street collections. They sent the money to Jarosław Rotary Club on the Poland-Ukraine border, which was used for food and medical supplies for refugees fleeing into Poland, and some of it was sent to a city 200 miles south of Kiev on the Dnipro River. Three Abergavenny Rotarians visited Jarosław last summer, and the club also sent five Ukrainian youngsters on the Rotary Youth Leadership Award camp, funded by a Foundation District Response Grant. For other Rotary clubs, collecting goods, both medical and humanitarian, has been a key part of their work. Fleetwood Rotary in Lancashire manned a collection point at the shopping centre where they filled a 40-foot container with bedding, cooking utensils and pharmaceutical products, which International Aid delivered. Blythe Bridge Rotary in Staffordshire supported a village effort to send two lorry loads of goods into Poland. One of the Rotarians has Ukrainian family, and through that connection, they were able to deliver medical goods direct to Kiev Hospital. In Hampshire, Rushmore and Farnborough Rotary Clubs joined forces to collect 750 large bin bags of warm clothing. Old Meldrumman District in Aberdeenshire invited a Ukrainian Rotary Club president to speak to them, and as a result provided 127 black bags of items to be transported to Eastern Europe. Also in Scotland, Inverness's three Rotary Clubs, Inverness, Culloden and Loch Ness, and Inverness Inner Wheel provided a range of warm clothing and bedding, established a shoebox appeal to provide toiletries and personal items, along with unwanted medical aids which were transported to Ukraine. Through donations, they were also able to purchase a generator. At home, supporting Ukrainian refugees who have fled to these isles has been a focal point. Many Rotarians have hosted families, while clubs themselves have supported them. At Brookmans Park in Hertfordshire, one Rotarian took in a Ukrainian family, while the family who run the restaurant where the club meets transported humanitarian aid they had collected to the border with Slovenia. Colchester Forum Rotary in Essex supported Ukrainian families by supplying computers. And at Cardiff Llanishen, they bought 20 Chromebooks to support children living in hotels in the Welsh capital. The E-Club South West Peninsula used a Rotary Foundation grant to provide a laptop for a Ukrainian doctor, Alina Sobicheva, to improve her English and become a settled part of the community. Hebden Bridge Rotary in West Yorkshire and Rutland Rotary in the East Midlands are both offering English lessons for refugees, while in Suffolk, two Rotarians, who are members of the Woodbridge Ukraine Hub, are providing regular English classes and practical support to those living in the area. In the West Midlands, Moseley and Sparkbrook Rotary partnered with a Ukrainian community organisation to buy travel passes along with warm winter coats for teenagers, plus Christmas presents for youngsters. Lewis Rotary in East Sussex also sent warm clothing to Ukraine. Similarly, in St Macha, Aberdeen, Rotarians provided household cleaning materials for 10 homes used by families coming to the Scottish city. They have also donated winter coats and jackets, along with various footwear. At Clonmel Rotary in the Republic of Ireland, they ran a Ukrainian relief centre for 55 displaced persons for 12 weeks. The Rotarians raised €9,000 to buy materials to support their resettlement. An additional €5,000 was sent to a Rotary account to support people in their country. Dronfield Rotary in Derbyshire has been particularly industrious by raising money to send to a partner club, Warsaw Willanow in Poland, and set up Dronfield Homes for Ukraine, providing a welcome pack and information for refugees. Interestingly, as a registered charity, Dronfield Rotary applied to Vodafone UK and received free SIM cards, which have been sent to families.
One Voice, Jennifer Jones, Rotary International President, 2022-23. Introducing the Rotary Youth Network. How do you take the best from the worst? None of us will forget how the pandemic altered our world and our lives. Each of us had to traverse this period of uncertainty, and no one had a free pass from the effects. I personally believe this has created space for a different kind of global leadership, one that is courageous, empathetic, and vulnerable. I met my good friend Anila Carracedo online in early 2020. She is one such leader, and I'm thrilled to turn this month's column over to her. Jennifer Jones. In March 2020, I had a panic attack. I couldn't breathe, and I felt a terrible pain in my chest. It had been a few days since the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a global pandemic, and I was in the middle of my year as a Rotary Youth Exchange student in the United States. Think about it, an 18-year-old girl stuck in a different country with a foreign language, with people she had only met 6 months before. It was scary. But I am familiar with uncertainty. I was born and raised in Venezuela, which is going through one of the worst humanitarian and political crises in the Western Hemisphere. But my mom always said, challenges are nothing more than needs that require a solution. I called up my Interact and Youth Exchange friends. Together we organised an online meeting to share projects and get inspired by what everyone else was doing during the quarantine. In that first meeting, we had 70 people, mainly students, from 17 countries. From that beginning, we built an online platform for Rotary youths worldwide to share their experiences and inspire others with project ideas during isolation. We looked for mentors and supporters who would help our group connect young people, share cultures, and open new collaborative opportunities for international service projects. We called it Rotary Interactive Quarantine, or RIQ. After only a year, we engaged with more than 5,000 students from 80 countries. Several of our team members became District Interact representatives and district committee members, and some of us even serve on Rotary International Councils. Eventually, quarantine restrictions were being lifted, and the needs of our participants were changing. At our last official meeting as RIQ, past RI President Barry Rassin inspired us to create even bigger change. So we transformed RIQ into the Rotary Youth Network, or RYN. A few of our members, including me, were selected to serve on the inaugural Interact Advisory Council, where we presented our vision for youth in Rotary to the RI Board of Directors. Our presentation to the board inspired President Jennifer and her team to create a Youth Advisory Council in Rotary International, which I am honoured to serve as a co-chair. The Rotary Youth Network officially launched during a breakout session at the 2022 Rotary International Convention in Houston. Five of us who had participated in Interact, Youth Exchange and Rotary Youth Leadership Awards travelled across continents to launch an organisation we had kicked off online 2 years before. The convention was also the first time we had met in person. When my friends and I finished our talk, we realised more than 500 people were giving us a standing ovation. Tears filled our eyes, and the feeling of excitement and accomplishment took over. Who would have thought that a panic attack would lead to this? Anila Caracedo, Rotary Club of Bay St. Louis, Mississippi, District 6840, Rotaract Chair-Elect. Nikki Scott, RI Director, 2021-23. Pakistan visit was an eye-opener. In December 2022, I was blessed with the opportunity to visit Pakistan. I saw today's frontline efforts in our fight to end polio in one of the two last endemic countries in the world, Afghanistan being the other. I went from wanting to believe we will finally eradicate polio to coming away knowing, without doubt, that together we will. I learnt how technology has enhanced our efforts significantly. Improvements include a huge screen showing the real-time location of every polio vaccination team at the National Emergency Operations Centre in Islamabad. Every inhabited building is identified in advance, and the dates and numbers of vaccines administered are recorded. Detailed record keeping and analysis in Karachi covers the remote villages. At the permanent transport points on the main highway, all buses are stopped for the polio teams to run on board, find the children under five, administer two drops of life-saving polio vaccine, and record where they live. The devastating impact of the summer 2022 catastrophic floods was still very evident. I saw many families living on mud banks between flooded plains, with little to no shelter, facing cold and dark winter nights, their homes, livestock and crops washed away. Local Rotarians were working hard to help meet their basic needs, including food, livestock and clean water to drink, but the situation was overwhelming. After such severe floods, the devastation doesn't end when the contaminated water subsides. The force of the floodwaters washes the fertile topsoil away, leaving a barren land where nothing will grow. It was clear to me that our Rotary network must do all we can to help rebuild villages and communities in Pakistan and help meet basic needs, including child immunisations and access to healthcare. These are all intrinsically linked to ensuring our work to end polio is not impacted, or worse still, set back. Director Faiz Kidwai, the first Rotary International Director from Pakistan, is committed to this vision, working with a team of experts to design independent, long-term, sustainable, smart villages, combining ancient tribal wisdom with modern-day technology and techniques. Considerable funding is needed from local corporate donors and non-profit agencies, as well as Rotary Global grants. Director Faiz also oversees Rotary efforts in Afghanistan. His extremely valuable and deep understanding of local cultures and physical environments there and in Pakistan will help ensure we achieve our top humanitarian goal as expeditiously as possible. Will you and your club consider how you can contribute to leaving such a phenomenal legacy for future generations of children everywhere?
Ian Risley, Rotary Foundation Trustee Chair. Think big, act big. In a letter to his brother Theo in 1874, Vincent van Gogh wrote, "If you truly love nature, you will find beauty everywhere." You can see Van Gogh's love of the natural world in his paintings. Luminous sunflowers, gnarled olive trees, and a starry night sky over a provincial village. When you see nature through Van Gogh's eyes, or through your own, such as during a trip to the park or a beach, you can't help but stop to appreciate it. And when you love nature, you also want to take care of it. April is Environmental Month for Rotary, and Earth Day is the 22nd. Marking the occasion with local projects, such as roadside cleanups, is fantastic and makes a difference. Consider also thinking big about protecting the environment, one of Rotary's 7 areas of focus, by partnering with other clubs and districts on a larger-scale project funded through the Rotary Foundation. The more our clubs work together on larger projects, the more we accomplish. Supported by a Foundation Global Grant, Rotary clubs in Pennsylvania and Brazil teamed up to provide plastic processing equipment for a waste pickers cooperative in the city of Rio Claro. The workers who recover recyclables from trash increased their income by 50% and expanded the cooperative while contributing to a cleaner environment. Acting big is also one of the main ideas behind the Foundation's programs of scale. With each $2 million grant distributed over a program's 3 to 5 year duration, the work done on the ground scales up to fulfill the potential for long-term sustainable change. The 2021-22 Programs of Scale recipient, Together for Healthy Families in Nigeria, is hard at work right now on solutions aimed at reducing the country's maternal and neonatal mortality rates. Programs of Scale grants are among the most exciting developments of Rotary and its foundation in recent years. They will have a big impact on the world. Remember that Programs of Scale grants take nothing away from your foundation grant projects. The money invested is a relatively small portion of the foundation's total. In addition, the Rotary Foundation designed Programs of Scale to foster greater partnerships, which can include co-funding the initiative. So, think big this month about the environment and about global grants and programs of scale. And you will see that when it comes to the good we can do through our foundation, the starry night sky's the limit. Garth Arnold, Chair of the Board for Rotary GB&I. Delivering those golden nuggets. We're now 8 months into the Rotary year, and I was thinking of some practical aspects of our lovely organisation which I could reference. I have been in Rotary for nearly 30 years and have always been keen to pick out golden nuggets which really make me feel proud and really hit home as to what Rotary can do. My kids are now 21 and 19. I can remember when they were no size bringing them to Rotary Island District conferences. The conference teams were extremely supportive of us bringing Grace and Ross and looked forward to seeing them every year. They would be very good, sitting in the audience and listening to the speakers. One really does not think any more about it. Each year goes by, they get into their teens and are not so comfortable coming along saying, "Not cool, Daddy." My daughter is now a third-year medical student at Queen's University Belfast, looking to do a master's degree in global and international health next year. She shared with me her personal statement as part of the application process, and I was totally blown away by the references to Rotary and what she had been exposed to, the work we do, our 7 areas of focus, and of course, our work with polio eradication. If that was not enough, I can remember getting a recent call out of the blue from Grace. As parents, we know it is usually wanting something. Nothing about, "How are you?" Anyway, on this occasion, Grace was buzzing from being in the hospital ward and having had a long chat with a patient who has polio and was being treated after a fall. I could just imagine her having the conversation and being knowledgeable about polio from her years being associated with Rotary. If Grace does get accepted for her 1 year master's course, it will mean going to one of 6 partner universities in Thailand, India, Canada, Colombia, Sudan, and Norway for the last part of the course. I'm sure we all have golden nuggets, and it is through communicating our stories that we're able to cross boundaries and connect people from which membership opportunities develop.
Amanda Watkin, General Secretary for Rotary GB&I. Is our future exciting or scary? We hear much on the news about artificial intelligence, AI, but being so intrinsically bound up as a people business, it's hard to see how AI might play its part in helping our fantastic organisation. I thought it might be interesting to find out how AI could help a membership organisation such as Rotary, and learnt it can assist in a variety of ways, such as personalisation. AI can help membership organisations provide personalised experiences to their members by analysing their preferences, interests, and behaviour patterns. AI can then use this data to offer tailored content, products, and services that meet the specific needs of each member. Membership retention. AI can help membership organisations identify members who are at risk of leaving and intervene before it happens. By analysing data such as member engagement, attendance, and feedback, AI can provide insights into why members are disengaging and suggest ways to re-engage them. Marketing and communication. AI can help membership organisations improve their marketing and communication efforts by analysing member data to determine the best channels and messaging to use. AI can also help automate marketing and communication tasks, such as sending personalised emails or social media messages. Event planning. AI can help membership organisations plan and execute events by providing insights into member preferences and behaviours. AI can also help with event logistics, such as venue selection and scheduling, to ensure that events are well attended and meet member expectations. Data analysis and decision making. AI can help membership organisations analyse large amounts of data to identify trends and make informed decisions. For example, AI can analyse member feedback to identify common concerns or areas for improvement, or predict which products or services will be most popular among members. Overall, AI can help membership organisations improve member engagement and retention, streamline operations, and make more data-driven decisions. What an exciting revelation! And guess what? This information was auto-generated using an amazing piece of AI called ChatGPT. Without doubt, the world continues to evolve, and Rotary is learning how to match that rate of evolution to remain relevant and connect with both current and future members. Our digital infrastructure investment is designed to help you have the best member experience possible and to feel confident bringing the next generations into membership, presenting a modern face to our organisation. We would love to hear your thoughts around digital systems and services that might benefit you or your club, so we can continue to meet your needs. Drop a note to membership at rotarygbi.org. How does the Rotary Foundation help when disaster strikes? With more than 1.4 million members worldwide, Rotary is well placed and equipped to help communities recover wherever disaster strikes. Working closely with other organisations that specialise in disaster relief, Rotary members lead projects to support every phase of a community's recovery. Rotary supports three phases of relief. Immediate response. Local clubs offer helping hands and supplies. Short-term assistance. Clubs and districts provide funds and materials to re-establish day-to-day operations. the Rotary Foundation has established a number of disaster response funds, DRFs, to finance this work. At district's discretion, these projects can also be supported by use of district grants. Long-term rebuilding. Clubs plan and implement projects that rebuild and develop affected communities. This work is supported by both district and global grants. Traditionally, Rotary has seen its role mostly in the last of these areas, with grants from the Rotary Foundation being aligned towards those ends. However, many members felt this limited our ability to help communities in the shorter term when natural disasters strike. In April 2019, the TRF trustees agreed to the creation of a General Disaster Response Fund and associated disaster response grants, initially as a 3-year pilot. This is now a permanent Rotary Foundation offering. Initially, it was set up as one fund, with grants available towards recovery from natural disasters in any area of the world. In February 2022, the world was impacted by the Russian invasion of Ukraine. The TRF trustees decided that Rotary's response could best be supported by some easing of the requirements for a grant from the DRF. Whilst the war is not a natural disaster, help would be offered via a segregated fund. That led to the Ukraine DRF, which rapidly grew to over $15 million, that has now all been distributed to projects in Ukraine and for supporting displaced Ukrainians. Following the success of that campaign, in the early part of 2023, the trustees decided to launch 3 new disaster response funds. Ukraine. Following much the same guidelines as for the previous year, all districts can apply for disaster response grants from this fund. Pakistan floods. Responding to the 2022 widespread flooding in Pakistan, only Pakistan districts D3271, D3272 can apply to this disaster response fund. But Rotarians elsewhere are encouraged both to donate and to work with the Pakistani districts. Turkey-Syria earthquake. Following the recent devastating earthquakes, only the 4 districts in the region, D2420, D2430, D2440, D2452, can apply for disaster response grants to support Turkey-Syria. But again, Rotarians elsewhere are encouraged both to donate and work with these districts. To give to any of the Rotary Disaster Response Funds, go to the Donate page on the Rotary GB&I website, www.rotarygbi.org/donate, and choose any of the funds of the Rotary Foundation. The funds for Ukraine and Pakistan will accept contributions until the 31st of December 2023. Grants will be awarded until the 30th of June 2024 or earlier if all funds have been expended. For Turkey, Syria, donations made using the main disaster response fund link will be prioritised for Turkey, Syria for a limited time, after which donations will be used to support disasters worldwide.
You asked, Gordon McAnally answered. Responding to your questions, Rotary's president-elect says he plans to lead with caring as his core value. If you ask Gordon McAnally anything about his upcoming year as Rotary International president, he'll immediately stop you. "It's not about my year, it's about one of Rotary's years," he corrects. "I'm a great believer in continuity, and I don't see the years in isolation." On a blustery October day, Gordon sat down with 6 members of Rotary's communications team in Evanston to take questions gathered via social media from Rotary members around the world. He has a quick sense of humour and an easy banter that filled the room with laughter as a film crew set up boom mics, cameras and lights. In introducing himself as a member of the Rotary Club of South Queensferry, he quipped about his distinctive speech. Despite the lack of an accent, I am Scottish and very proud of that fact. Gordon's Scottish heritage is apparent in his office, where a brightly coloured landscape painting by Scottish artist John Larry Morrison adorns a wall. Scotland isn't always as dreary as it is typically depicted, he notes. Sometimes it's a very bright place. In fact, there are a lot of stereotypes about Scotland that Gordon is looking to move past. The tartan, the plaid, it's very traditional, very stereotypical, he says. His presidential tie, instead, was inspired by the bright colours used by Morrison, his favourite artist, along with the colours in the shell from Thailand that helped inspire his presidential theme. Among other colourful curiosities in Gordon's office is a giant cardboard rendition of his head, which he received after a Rotary Institute in Minneapolis. Visitors are keen to hold it up for social media selfies. I think they get more sense out of the head than they do out of me, he says with a laugh. Gordon joined the South Queensferry Club when he was 26 years old. He and his wife, Heather, had recently gotten married and wanted to put down roots in the community outside of Edinburgh. A farmer they had met invited them to a Rotary social event and then to a couple of Rotary meetings. And before McAnally knew it, he was on the road to Rotary membership. Heather McAnally is also a Rotarian, belonging to the Borderlands Satellite Club of the Rotary Club of Selkirk. I couldn't see how a dentist working in isolation in Edinburgh could make a huge difference in the world, he recalls. But I very quickly realised that by being part of Rotary, I could, and I did. He would like to use his year, scratch that, the 2023-24 Rotary year, to spotlight mental health, an issue that has touched his family directly and that is all too often kept under wraps. Gordon is an ambassador for Bipolar UK, an organisation which supports people with the illness, as well as their families and caregivers. Rotary International in Great Britain and Ireland recently launched a partnership with the organisation to bring members' skills to help build a more robust network of support groups around the country. I'm a big believer in using Rotary members' skills rather than just their checkbooks, he says. The following is a condensed version of the interview with Gordon last October. Watch the full conversation at rotary.org/McAnally Town Hall. That's rotary.org/McAnally Town Hall. What are your core values and how do they shape how you lead? From Natarajan Sundarasan, Rotary Club of Coothapakkam, India. My core value can be expressed in one word, and that is caring. I like to think that I care for people. Professionally, as a dentist, I cared for people for many, many years. It's something that was instilled in me by my parents. It's something that we have instilled in our own children, and the great thing is, I now see it being instilled in our grandchildren. I think if the world was a more caring place, a kinder place, then it would be a much happier place and a much more peaceful place. Peace is one of the issues that I particularly want to see us move forward. How can we reignite members of Rotary who appear to have lost their spark? From Janine and Paul Birtwistle, Rotary Club of Guernsey. I know Janine and Paul very well, and it's nice to receive a question from them. I think the way to reignite the lost spark in certain members of Rotary is to make sure that the Rotary Club experience is as good as it can be and suits everybody. It's not a case of one size fits all. Some clubs still want to meet in a country club and spend 2.5 hours over lunch. Other clubs will want to meet for 45 minutes on a Saturday morning over coffee and a bagel, and then get out to do service. It all comes down to the service. We're a membership organisation and a service organisation. It's not an either-or. We need to be out there doing service, because not only will we enjoy that more, we will also see more people want to come and join us because they can see us. What concrete plans does Rotary have to address climate change in 2023-24? From Adar Rahman, Rotary Club of Secunderabad, India. One of the big projects that we're working on at the moment is planting mangroves in various places around the world, and there are many others. But we have to remember that Rotary, on its own, will not be able to solve the problem of climate change. We need to work at the level we're capable of working at, and encourage and advocate governments around the world to ensure that we address the issue of climate change going forward. How can we motivate more Rotaractors to join Rotary Clubs? From Dale Kearns, Rotary Club of Northeast Maryland. We need to bring them into Rotary Clubs as Rotaractors and allow them to help shape the club going forward. We talk about mentoring, but there's reverse mentoring as well. We can learn so much from Rotaractors. One of the most successful places in the world at integrating Rotaractors into Rotary is in Hong Kong. They move seamlessly from Rotaract into Rotary. As a result, there's hardly a division. They have a wonderful way of interacting Rotaract and Rotary together. Both sides gain so much from that. People say that Rotaract is the future of Rotary, but it's actually the present. What youth programs are important to you? From Lindy Beattie, Rotary Club of Penn Valley, California. I'm a great fan of RYLA Rotary Youth Leadership Awards. We have seen very successful RYLAs in our part of the world. If you take a high school student with potential to RYLA experience, the change that can take place is amazing. Sometimes the quiet, introverted young students who go to a RYLA experience have, by the end of it, found themselves and are blossoming. It's important we send people with potential to the RYLA experience, not the high flyers, because they're going to fly high anyway. It's the people we have the potential to develop. I'm also a great believer in Rotary Youth Exchange. I'm delighted that we are now in a position to reignite the Youth Exchange program. Just over the past few weeks, I've seen young people flying all around the world for what will be a life-changing experience. That comes back to the whole issue of creating a more peaceful world, because if we can take young people and let them meet other young people and live in their cultures for a year, then we realize that basically we're all the same people. There is no need for conflict, because we're all trying to pull in the same direction, and we all desire the same thing. Rotary keeps creating new partnerships and launching new projects. How can we ensure continuity as one president takes over from another? From Marissa De Luna, Rotary Club of Sweetwater, San Diego, California. When I talk about continuity, I don't just mean doing the same old things year after year after year. What I mean is a process of continually moving forward, continually improving. To do that, we need to be looking at different projects and at different initiatives, because at any given time, there are different needs and different demands being placed on us. So I don't think that the two are mutually exclusive. I think we can be a part of new projects and we can look at doing new things, but we can still be practicing continuity, in that we're taking it forward in the long term and not rushing to conclude things in the space of any one presidential term. What is the biggest potential you see in Rotary as an organisation that has not been fully realised? From Claudia Arizmendi, Rotary Club of Hermosillo, Milenio, Mexico. We saw a great increase in volunteerism during the pandemic. I think we have a great opportunity to connect with those people and encourage them to carry on volunteering through Rotary. I believe it's in everybody's nature to care for other people. If we can bring that out of people, and if we can build on the spirit of care that we saw during the pandemic, what a wonderful legacy. About 6.5 million people died as a result of COVID around the world, and so they must not die in vain. If we can reconnect with the people who reignited their spirit of volunteering during that period, then we will have achieved something. Tell us about your presidential theme. The theme is going to be Create Hope in the World. I'm a great believer that everything starts with hope. While I was in Thailand inaugurating a village that Rotary International in Great Britain and Ireland had built after the 2004 Indian Ocean tsunami, I met a lady. She looked to be about 70 or 80 years of age, and it turned out she was only about 50. She had lost everything in the tsunami. Her house had been destroyed, and as I looked around her house, there was nothing else there. This was a new home, but she had lost everything. But she insisted I take a seashell that she had saved for over 30 years. She said, "I had lost everything, including hope, but Rotary has given me hope to continue." And I have this shell to this day. If people don't have hope, then they will never be able to make their way forward. It's a call to action. Create hope in the world. What are your priorities? In terms of continuity, we want to carry on empowering girls and women. Also, we're going to be encouraging people to do virtual exchanges. That will speak to peace building from the ground up. It's not about stopping wars, it's about stopping wars from starting. Prevention is better than cure. Almost every one of our areas of focus has the potential to do that. The third thing is a mental health initiative. Coming out of the pandemic, there are a lot of people who are struggling with poor mental health. I think it's the next pandemic. I've got experience with friends who have suffered poor mental health. I guess we've all suffered through poor mental health on occasions. Rotary has to be big enough and brave enough to enter that space and to start talking about where we can make a difference. At the most basic level, it's just opening up the conversation about mental health and helping people get access to any professional help that they might need, and then supporting them through that journey. I lost my brother to suicide. It's still very painful. I share this not to get people's sympathy, but to make people realise that everybody is affected by this sort of thing. We can't sweep it under the carpet. As a global network of 1.4 million people, we do have an opportunity to make a difference in making it less of a taboo and less of a stigma. You have also served as president of Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland. What did you learn from that experience that you'll bring to this role? I learned how to sleep in different beds every 2 or 3 days. I travelled a great deal during that year around Britain and Ireland. I learned that Rotary clubs are all different and that everybody has a different interest. Not everybody is as passionate as I am. I'd sometimes feel a bit of a zealot. But everybody has something, and the secret is to tap into people's interests and to make sure that they're allowed to do things that they want to do. That speaks to bringing members in as well. We don't bring members in and then tell them what they need to do. We bring members in and ask them what Rotary can do for them. You're a dentist. If you were a tooth, which would you be? I'd probably be an incisor, because that's the first tooth that does the work. You don't shove anything straight to the very back. You lead with your incisors, and I like to think I lead from the front. That said, an incisor is no more important than any other tooth. All are equally important in the eating process.
Giving shelter. The Rotary-supported charity Shelter Box has been at the forefront of relief efforts in Syria and Turkey since the powerful earthquake which devastated both countries in February. Story by Carrie Garrod, Shelter Box. Shelter Box continues to scale up its response to help people affected by a series of powerful earthquakes that left hundreds of thousands of people without adequate shelter across Turkey and Syria. The International Disaster Relief Charity, which was begun by Rotary in Cornwall, has more than 20 years of experience in disaster relief, including earthquake responses, yet its teams have not witnessed destruction on the sheer scale they're seeing in Turkey before. Within 72 hours of the earthquakes that have claimed the lives of more than 50,000 people across the two countries, Shelterbox had an emergency response team in Turkey. A month on, and an unknown number of people remain unaccounted for beneath the rubble. The cold is presenting an immediate risk to life to people who survived, either too afraid to return home or with no home to go back to. People in Turkey and Syria are already receiving shelter box aid, including essential items such as tents, blankets, mattresses, and winter coats for children, with more on the way. The items will help people surviving through this ongoing nightmare, protecting them from the bitter temperatures, preventing the spread of disease, and providing some privacy as they get back on their feet. In Turkey, Shelterbox is working in partnership with Rotary and closely with local communities and officials to ensure key services alongside shelter provision. In addition to the charity's first stocks of tents imported soon after the earthquakes, more tents and other essential items like blankets, mattresses, stoves, and solar lights are being distributed to communities in Hatay. Shelterbox Emergency Response Manager Dave Raybould says, "The circumstances in Turkey are very challenging, and our long-standing relationship with Rotary has been pivotal in helping us make progress. The powerful combination of Rotarians with strong networks and local knowledge, coupled with 20 years of Shelterbox expertise in delivering emergency shelter support, means that we are able to provide the right support at the right time for people affected by the earthquakes." Incredible Rotary members in Turkey have made a huge difference to how we are operating. Shelterbox and Rotary are working together dynamically in the face of immense need. Rotary is supporting the earthquake's response being led by the government of Turkey, coordinated through AFAD, and with the Turkish Red Crescent, TRC. Rotary is working closely with and has permission from AFAD to operate in some of the affected areas. Organisations without this specific type of registration, like Shelterbox, need to work through locally based partners. This is possible for Shelterbox through its long-standing partnership with Rotary. It is this valued and vital partnership, combined with a shared vision to help people who need it most after disaster, and a huge effort from all involved, that is driving the response forward in Turkey. Rotary districts are working together to support communities across the region, as well as making crucial introductions for Shelterbox response teams with local leaders and authorities. Local Rotaract members have been supporting Shelterbox with translation and local liaison as they provide training to local authority members ahead of the next tent distributions. As well as supporting Shelterbox to help people in rural areas and design a longer-term recovery project to support the rehabilitation and onward education of children, Rotary continues to manage multiple projects: immediate food, clothing and hygiene deliveries, a mobile hospital project, and a commitment to a container city. At least 2 million people have lost their homes in Turkey, and more than 80,000 people in Syria have been displaced, many not for the first time. A well-coordinated response is vital in such a complex and huge crisis. With shelter remaining a priority need across Turkey and Syria, Shelterbox is working with multiple in-country partners to support as many people as possible. They are being supported around the clock by Shelterbox teams in the UK and around the world, and a huge supply chain effort continues. Shelterbox has been supporting people affected by the conflict in Syria for more than 10 years. Refugees and internally displaced people who had fled from conflict in Syria have been uprooted once more, leaving them without shelter again. With nearly 3 million people already displaced by the war, communities are facing multiple threats, including harsh living conditions, powerful aftershocks, freezing temperatures, and diseases like cholera. And the conflict continues. As part of its conflict response, Shelterbox worked with Relief Aid, and has been working with them to distribute children's winter coats following the earthquakes. With them, Shelterbox is also working to provide blankets and mattresses to thousands of people newly arriving at camps. As well as tents, high thermal blankets and mattresses, Shelterbox will be supplying people in northern Syria with solar lights, water carriers and multi-purpose cash with its partner Baha. Cash assistance gives people who have been left with very little the flexibility to get what essential items they need. Shelterbox is continuing to move aid across the border to its partner Baha, and the first truck containing tents from its warehouse in Belgium has now arrived. Shelterbox strategically pre-positions aid all over the world to help get crucial supplies to disaster-affected communities as quickly as it can. More are due in the next week and will likely help shelter people in northwest Aleppo. Shelterbox has an emergency fundraising appeal to help people affected by the earthquakes and other disasters around the world. Information. For more information about its response, visit www.shelterbox.org.
A gin-tastic fellowship. Gin is one of the most popular drinks in the world, and it is also the theme of a Rotary Fellowship. Story by Malcolm Halliwell. Rotary Fellowships are international groups which share a common passion. Being part of a fellowship is a fun way to make friends around the world, and one of those is to explore gins of the world. The fellowship came about after a discussion between a few Rotarians at the Rotary International or RI convention in Hamburg in 2019, when it was suggested that gin would be a great way to attract fellowship from around the world. On returning home, a survey was undertaken via Facebook to see if there was enough interest from at least 25 supporters from at least 5 different countries to be able to apply to RI. The Rotary Fellowship of Gin is one of a number of drinking fellowships which exist within Rotary. The others are beer, palm wine, rum, wine and whiskey. This fellowship has an active Facebook group where we share discoveries and information about gins. We share craft gins from all over the world, gin recipe cocktails, favourite botanicals, how to make a compound gin and how to cook with gin. We also hold monthly gin-tastic meetups via Zoom to have fun and learn something about gin. We rotate meeting times so that people in each time zone have the opportunity to participate. Typically, we have a guest distiller speak about their gin process and products. We also discuss ideas, get insights, and play the occasional game. Gin comes in so many exotic flavours. My personal favourite is Tanqueray Sevilla. However, with so many standard gins, and now so many flavours, the choice is becoming very interesting. I'd be surprised if you got many similar answers if a survey was carried out among all the membership. We held our first in-person gin fellowship activity at the Rotary International Convention in Houston last year, when we enjoyed a sampling of local gin. There are now plans for a repeat in Melbourne this May. This will happen at each future convention. Rotarians are also people of action who provide service by supporting communities and collaborating internationally on projects. Since gin production and consumption also depend on clean water, the Rotary Fellowship of Gin also supports clean water, sanitation and hygiene programs by raising funds and supporting projects worldwide. Clean water, sanitation and hygiene education are basic necessities for a healthy environment and a productive life. In 2022-23, we're supporting Aquabox with their project to provide clean water filters for Ukraine. A portion of dues go to projects for clean water, with this being our first. We have so far provided funds to send 60 family water filters. When people have access to clean water and sanitation, waterborne diseases decrease, children stay healthier and attend school more regularly, and mothers can spend less time carrying water and more time helping their families. Through water, sanitation and hygiene, WASH programs, Rotary's People of Action mobilise resources, form partnerships and invest in infrastructure and training which yields long-term change. This fellowship operates in accordance with RI policy, but is not an agency of or controlled by RI. Currently, we have 84 members drawn from Australia, Canada, Denmark, England, France, Germany, India, Ireland, Norway, the Philippines, Portugal, Scotland, Sweden, the United States, and Wales. We also have over 500 followers on Facebook. We have 6 honorary members, Juliet and Ian Risley, Suzanne and Holger Knark, and Jennifer Jones and Nick Krajicic. The board consists of 6 members, and we're looking to extend to have regional members who can arrange additional gin-tastic sessions locally. As the group continues to expand and grow, gin fellowship members may want to host regional gin-related events as well. The Rotary Fellowship of Gin is a group dedicated to promoting gin as an opportunity for fellowship. There is nothing special about gin. It is the same as any other drink. You either like it or you don't. The aim of the fellowship is to enjoy fellowship with those of similar interests in a topic. Basically, as for any fellowship, the gin fellowship allows for fun, friendship, and fellowship. If you take Euston Convention, those attending met up for an evening, had a lot of good fun and banter whilst enjoying each other's company, with attendees from a number of different countries. We're hoping to have a booth at Melbourne, and we'll be arranging another fellowship gathering at a gin bar there also. Gin Fact File. While gin may be the national spirit of England, the spirit originated in Holland. During the Dutch Independence War, gin was given to soldiers and referred to as Dutch courage. The Royal Navy mixed gin with lime juice to prevent scurvy, the lack of vitamin C. This drink would soon be known as the Gimlet. Information. To join, visit ginfellowship.org. That's ginfellowship.org. Or email Malcolm Halliwell, Secretary and Membership Officer, via rotary1150@gmail.com. That's rotary1150@gmail.com.
And finally, by Rotary editor Dave King. Whisper it quietly, but I rather miss those old-fashioned Rotary annual conferences by the sea. A century-old gathering of the clans from across the British Isles for a weekend of networking, education, gathering new ideas, reinforcing key messages, forward planning, and those two F words, fun and fellowship. I've just returned from a stimulating weekend at the University of Warwick campus, 88 miles, by the way, from the closest beach at Weston-super-Mare, attending the Leadership Development Forum with 250 Rotarians from across the nation. For 2 days, we shared ideas and experiences. We discussed ways of growing Rotary, reflected on various forms of Rotary membership, and looked ahead to the exciting cluster initiative which Rotary GB&I is piloting. It was corking, providing a much-needed boost to my Rotary mojo. At several points of the weekend, I reflected how it was such a shame that this was not a national event so more Rotarians could engage. Torquay 5 years ago was the last national conference in its old format when Princess Anne visited the Devon Riviera. Pragmatically, it was decided to venture down the Volunteer Expo route just as COVID intervened. No longer a Rotary-only event, but this was the UK's national volunteering show which partnered with other organisations. I hosted the first online event in 2021, and last year, Birmingham's NEC staged a 3-day Volunteer Expo which also included an action summit with incoming Rotary International President Jennifer Jones. There were no plans for a Volunteer Expo this year. In fact, the only national Rotary event is an action summit being planned by the incoming Rotary International Director, Eve Conway, in Manchester this September. And that, I think, is a big shame. One of the most interesting sessions in Warwick was a discussion hosted by the current RI Director, Nikki Scott, with the incoming District Governor serving South Wales, Avon Somerset and Devon and Cornwall, whose districts will become one of 6 clusters South Wales and South West England operating in Rotary GB and I. Now, clusters are not a way of getting rid of districts, reducing the role or influence of the district governor, or adding additional bureaucracy. Instead, the discussion focused how these four Rotary districts were already collaborating for greater impact, making Rotary leadership easier and making better use of specialist support. It really is a case of better together. And next year at Sandy Park, home of the Exeter Chiefs Rugby Club, the South West Cluster will hold one conference, saving considerably on cost, but making a greater impact. Rotary GB&I is testing this model for RI as a 5-year regional pilot, and it makes perfect sense. A regional pilot based on 109 years of experience with a bottom line of growing Rotary. These are bumpy times for the Good Ship Rotary, with membership declining and membership retention an issue. 50% of Rotarians leave after 2 years. But we are all in the same boat, and it is important Rotarians work together. I drove away from Warwick hugely excited, galvanised by the messages and invigorated by those I met, many long-time friends but new ones too. Not everyone can afford or has the time to go to a Rotary International Convention, and these cluster conferences are definitely the best way forward. My message to the Rotary Board is think seriously about reintroducing the annual conference, bringing Rotarians together once a year as a focal point for all. It doesn't have to be by the sea, Warwick is nice and central. But the value will be immense, especially to those new to Rotary, who can see what a dynamic organisation we are. So, that's it for the April issue of Rotary Magazine. I hope you've enjoyed it, so let us know what you think of this audio edition. You can email me at editor@rotarygbi.org. That's editor@rotarygbi.org. The Rotary Magazine has been presented by Dave King, the Rotary Magazine editor, and a team of professional narrators. All items in this audio are copyright and owned by Rotary International, Great Britain and Ireland. A downloadable edition of this audio for the visually impaired members can be requested. The audio magazine is also available to download or stream by visiting the Rotary in Great Britain and Ireland website, which is rotarygbi.org/magazine. That's rotarygbi.org/magazine. Thanks for listening, and I hope you can join us for the next audio edition of the Rotary Magazine, which will be for June, which, believe it or not, I'm already working on. So until next time, stay safe and keep well.